What's up, guys? Welcome back to the RCT Network. Now, on yesterday's episode, I talked about how Hawaii, or the Hawaiian government, in my opinion, and my opinion is based primarily on readings and interviews given by the local government officials, like the governor himself, Josh Green, about how this fire, regardless of how it was started, will be used to reclaim land by the state and build housing for workers and public housing, right? Cheap public housing for homeless. By the way, this, my observation is coming from literally what the governor, Josh Green, said himself in an interview the other day about how he wants the state to acquire the land to build worker housing and public cheap public housing for homeless people. And his policies that he is trying to push, like a moratorium, I think that was the right word, sorry, on banning the sale of the properties damaged in the fire in Lahaina to private investors or potential private owners from outside the state or even inside the state, right? He's trying to ban and limit private transactions and the people of Lahaina from selling their properties if they want to into a voluntary transaction, by the way. And he is cloaking it under the idea that he's trying to stop people from stealing land from the people of Lahaina, right? Well, you're in for a big one today. I have done even more digging into this. And my whole scenario here becomes even more and more and more credible. And it only takes a few Google clicks or searches to go in and actually see what the hell is going down here in Maui. So, to recap, you have a fire in Lahaina on the island of Maui. Immediately, memes start coming out, and they start hammering a lot of the wealthy who own houses on Maui, saying that, oh, you know, all the lower-income, middle-class people's houses burned down, but the wealthy's houses didn't even get touched, and how it's going to be a land grab by the private sector, right? And I talked about how, in my own experience living in disaster zones, you know, yeah, the private sector is going to come in and try and take advantage of people. There's no doubt about it. But it's voluntary, because if they do that, you don't have to sell your house. You don't have to sell your property. Nothing like that, right? It's a voluntary transaction there. The other thing was that the wealthy people, if when you go and look at where they own houses on Maui, most of them, if not all of them, didn't own houses in Lahaina. They owned them around the island, not even close to the fire. So it was a very misleading topic. But the idea in our society today is to try and make the private sector look like the bad guy. And it's okay if we ban the people of Lahaina from voluntary transactions with the private individuals, right, trying to buy up real estate. You know, it's okay if we do that, because the private sector bad, private bad, public good. But it's also okay that the public sector, when they do ban the sales of land, that they come in and purchase it for at market or lower than market value pre-fire. So whereas a private owner in Lahaina could get potentially higher price than prior to the fire based on demand, right? If people are willing to pay it. And if they're not, they just don't sell their house. They're going to end up being forced to give it back to the state. Again, this is based off of the government's own comments. So I wanted to dig into this and see what would the motive be, right? And I found some very, very, very concerning, I would say, forms of evidence alone. Now, if you listen to me, you know I'm an economics guy. Love it. Love finance, love economics. So I look at the numbers. I look at economic reports. I also look at data. Currently, Hawaii has the second largest homeless population in the United States. Or, sorry, I don't want to say second largest homeless population, but the second largest homeless rate in the United States. The difference, right? I also found an article written by the New York Post back in 2019, and it really lines up with my theory here that de Blasio, when he was mayor of New York City, was actually spending millions of dollars to ship a substantial amount of the illegal immigrants seeking asylum in New York, or supposedly seeking asylum, they're not really asylum seekers, most of them, and a large population of the homeless over to Hawaii. So there's been a lot of speculation on that. This has been going on since 2019, that New York has been sending these people over to Hawaii. And this has fueled a lot of the population of Hawaii's homeless. A lot of the homeless in Hawaii are not actual Hawaiians, but people who have come in from out of the state. The other thing is now you are seeing in New York City an illegal immigrant crisis in trying to find housing and something to do with all of these people that have been taken in by the new mayor of New York City. And what are they going to do? Well, they're probably going to end up shipping them out. Now, why Hawaii? All right. The other thing I went on and did is I found FEMA. I went on FEMA's website. And if you go on FEMA's website, since Biden took office, their new agenda, go look at the number one goal of FEMA right now is equity. It's focused on LGBTQ plus stuff, homelessness, minorities. It's not to provide federal emergency management or relief to the people impacted by natural disasters. No, the number one goal of FEMA since Biden took office is equity. Equity and inclusion. They even go off of ESG, right? Equity, or is it environmental, social, governance score, which is the stupidest thing to really ever be invented, but it's all about equity. Everything this administration does is about equity, and it's going down a socialist path. The Inflation Reduction Act. What is one thing that the Biden administration always talks about is how the Inflation Reduction Act, aka the Investment Reduction Act, has provided families with cheaper cost of living, or another one that's big in this is cheaper childhood care costs, right? It has reduced the cost of child care for the average family and lower income families substantially, he says. He brags about this. Now, I went and found an article written in May, it was May 5th, I believe, or May 3rd, 2023, so this year. I'm going to read a portion of this article, but the article was written by Honolulu Civil Beat. And it says, it's titled, Worker Shortage Threatens One of Maui County's Most Affordable Child Care Programs. Now, this program has been around for a while, but the Inflation Reduction Act has subsidized this even more just recently. It says, every summer and winter school break, Melissa Tumbleson signs up two of her daughters for PALS, which is the play and learn session, is what PALS stands for. A Maui County child care program that has long provided working parents with one of the most affordable summer options in the area. Her daughters, aged 8 and 10, love PALS. Okay, it's just going on about how this woman, who has two daughters, has put them in this PALS program. However, following COVID, now before COVID, they had all these people working in the program that could take care of all these kids. Following COVID now, they have a severe shortage of workers. It says this year in particular, Tumbleson was counting on the heavily subsidized program after she was laid off from her job in an escrow company a few months ago and only recently got a new one. But not long after registering for the program, she found out her two girls were waitlisted. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, shucks, this is a quote. She says, all of a sudden, you're like, oh, shucks, I'll probably end up having to pay $1,000 when I thought I was only going to pay $200. The reason she'll have to pay more is because she has to go to a private child care service now instead of the government subsidized one. This year, more than ever, Maui County is struggling to find workers, threatening the program's ability to care for the community's Kiki, which I'm assuming is Hawaiian for children. Says the county is in the midst of raising PAL's employees' pay to a minimum of $20 per hour and a high of around $31 per hour, depending on the role. So to try and attract people to come and fill this demand for basically teachers or someone to look after these kids while their parents go to work, especially during the summertime, they're increasing the minimum wage of the position. They did it to $20 per hour. Now they're looking at increasing it to $31 per hour. It says Maui's child care workers earn on average $32,050 per year, the third lowest annual wage on the island behind fast food workers and parking attendants, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics estimates. Now, this is a government-subsidized program, by the way. Biden's talking about how basically government's great, government subsidies are great, and we're creating all these high-paying jobs, right? But this job that's government-subsidized almost fully is one of the lowest paying jobs there are. And now they're going to increase it to $31 per hour, more than doubling the pay, but it still won't make an impact. And I'll explain that here in a second. So like other Maui employees, the government is trying to hire in a job market where the cost of living has forced families to move away. So Maui County has had a large exodus because the cost of living is so high that even with a $20 per hour wage, minimum wage, right, or $31 per hour minimum wage, they still can't retain people, workers on the island because it costs so much. I stated yesterday that it said that families have to make around $200,000 per year to have a comfortable way of life in Hawaii. Maui's probably a little bit more than that because it's kind of a luxury island. It says before the pandemic struck, the county government served roughly 1,700 children in its Summer Pals program across 19 different sites on Maui. Molokai and Lanai. So different islands there. Demand for the program dropped significantly between 2020 and 2022 because Maui, I'm assuming, shut down and people weren't going to work so they could watch their kids. As did job applications. Last year, 321 out of 468 positions went unfilled according to county documents. And the program served just 450 Kiki children at five sites on Maui and Molokai. This summer, demand for the program is way up, right? It's recovering because people are having to go back to work because they need the income. But staffing levels aren't. So there may be around 150 children who won't get a spot, according to county officials. Only two people applied to work in Lahaina with about 80 kids registered for the program, threatening its existence in West Maui, which means that they don't find workers to take care of the kids, especially in Lahaina, is their example, coincidentally. They will not be able to subsidize any program. And the parents of these children will have to go and pay thousands of dollars instead of hundreds of dollars for private childcare services or not work at all. Or move and live somewhere else, right? So big problem. So basically, on Maui and in Lahaina in particular, they have a very extreme shortage of laborers. Now, I talked about this a little bit yesterday as well. I also want to say this, and I'm not speculating, and this would be sad, but one can't help but kind of place a connection. And this probably isn't true. I hope it's not true, but you can't put anything past the government, right? They're saying the majority of the people that have passed on from the fire are children. If there's a shortage of spots for cheap childcare services because there's too many kids and not enough workers, and the government wants to maintain this facade that they are helping people through their subsidized programs that are basically threatening major, threatening its existence because it doesn't have the funding, doesn't have the workers, no one wants to do the job. Well, what better way than either lower the demand, and this sounds really bad that I'm saying this, but, you know, I'm just throwing things out there, right? This, I'm kind of going Alex Jones here, but you lower the demand, reduce the children that need the care one way or another, and you also, at the same time, get a substantial amount of federal funding through FEMA. And since FEMA's goal is, you know, equity inclusion for low-income people and minorities and all this, right? By the way, the population of Maui, the native Hawaiian population is the greatest population on Maui. So they have become the majority, and then but they're still considered a minority group in the United States. So a lot of this funding will go to them, which is fine. But that is FEMA's goal. So what better way for the state to get federal funding for programs to help out these families and maintain this government reliance? So, you know, I'm just saying. It says there won't be a program in Lanai once again because the county hasn't received a job application there since 2019. So even before COVID, no one was wanting to do this job. Says that, and to me, the more I read this, it just gets even crazier. But until last year, pay for palace workers started around $10.75 an hour. Last spring, the county raised it to $15 per hour, and now it's $20 per hour minimum. But they're looking at increasing it, like I said, to $31 an hour. Says many of their own children have been cared for or worked in the program, and the government is now looking into whether it's possible to make the pay increases take effect by time PAL start in June. I'm not sure if they were able to do so. Regardless, $31 an hour does not cover the extreme cost of living in Hawaii. Here's the other thing. Hawaii has some of the highest income tax rates there are. And I'm going to get into this in a second, but they also have some of the lowest property tax rates for owner-occupied housing. And again, I'll get into that in a second. This all plays into it. So basically, especially in the child care department, there's a substantial issue with the government programs, especially when it comes to funding. Now, the Biden administration would tell you that there are no issues and that everyone is basically way better off when it comes to child care services, and that the Inflation Reduction Act has eliminated this issue completely. You know my stance. I don't think the government should be involved in any of this. Subsidies are bad. And this, to me, is just another failure of government, how there's an extreme, excessive amount of spending and, you know, waste of tax dollars and revenue into a program that's failing and going to fail completely and not even be existent. Anyway, so if you're going to steal my money from my income, at least put it into something that's going to be of a benefit for the long term and actually provide help like you say it's going to. And this is just another example of how it doesn't, right? It's also an example of how trying to increase the minimum wages of these jobs has increased the cost of living and is still actually accelerated pricing out people on the island and forcing people in Hawaii to move away. Hawaii's population has fallen over the past year. They have lost workers. They are having an extreme shortage of labor, especially on Maui. This says it. There's another article written towards the end of the month, May 24, 2023. This is by their local news. And it's titled, "Where Have All the Workers Gone?" And it's Hawaii's chief economist explaining what's going on. It says Jan Martin has worked at, this lady who has worked at the island's grocery depot in Kahului, some of these words are hard for me to pronounce, for 13 years, said that her boss is finding it harder and harder to find loyal, hardworking employees nowadays. It also goes on to talk about how the job was down 30 employees. They had lost 30 employees. And The Economist says, we do hear businesses, they complain they have a hard time looking for people. Tian says that the worker shortage in Hawaii is improving, but it's still not back to pre-pandemic levels. He says, on average, in 2019, before the pandemic, there were a total of about 7,500 job openings in Hawaii, but also that's because a lot of those positions were filled. The number skyrocketed to 35,000 in December 2021. That's not because jobs were added. It's because people had gone unemployed during the pandemic, and now they're trying to refill the jobs. So a lot of the jobs the Biden administration has added, that they keep adding into his, you know, 10 million number or whatever, are not new jobs. They're just jobs that were lost during the pandemic. This is well known. It says in December, the latest data from February of this year shows 14,000. So they've only been able to fill about half of those positions. Over half. Let's say three quarters of the positions. Says, we are recovering. That's the key. But estimate of a full recovery will not happen until 2025. That's estimated. Says, in addition, he says Hawaii's population is dwindling. There are more people moving out of the state than coming in. We lost population in the last few years, and this is especially true for Honolulu and Maui. Lastly, Tian says there's a mismatch. He says job seekers are out there, but their priorities have changed. Going through the pandemic, people's habits, or maybe their demand, is different because they care more about health, about transportation, and family values, so their standard has changed. The change has forced many employers, like Okumura, to get creative. He now attends job fairs and is also offering signing bonuses and other incentives. But the cost of employment has increased because now they're having to pay people more. Now, if this is a market thing, right, where people are demanding more pay, then let it work itself out. But the problem is that the government has done it. It has created this problem, not only through how it handled COVID, but also how it has put in tax policy and other factors to substantially increase the cost of living on the island. Hawaii is an island. The cost of living would be high regardless for many different factors, but they have, you know, kind of lit fire under the increasing cost of living by the government policies. So you have a lot of factors, especially in Maui, that is going against what the government is trying to push. And the government is desperate. They're getting desperate because they want to push this socialist agenda. This, you know, the government's here to help and subsidize and, you know, create equity and inclusion and provide high wages in the market and subsidize childcare and living and all this. And they can't, it's counteracting on them. It's going the opposite direction, because in doing so, it's creating a major increase in the cost of living. It's pricing people out regardless of how high they're being paid. And when they are paid high, you're taking a substantial amount of them in tax revenue to try and fund all of this crazy, this crazy idea of a society that you have. And you get to where we're at right now. So the Hawaii governor, Josh Green, was elected. Literally, one of his main priorities was to build housing and focus on the homeless population. What I believe is going on is you're going to see the state reclaim this land, and they're going to make sure they can reclaim the land by not allowing private transactions. They're going to take that land, and I talked about the numbers yesterday. It says that he's looking to build these communal villages that will cost about $2.5 million. And that sets a price right there, a market value, $2.5 million. The government's not going to give it away for less than $2.5 million. So they're going to build these communal living quarters with communal bathrooms, everything. Like, for real. They're going to send the homeless there. And a lot of it's going to be illegal immigrants sent there by New York, where they're having a crisis right now with illegals, and in other cities that are these sanctuary cities having a major crisis with illegals. They're going to send them to Maui. They're going to provide government housing. It's going to be subsidized by the federal government. And a lot of it is going to be funded through the FEMA relief funds that are going to go to the state. And then you're going to have real estate investors that are coming in, and the government's going to sell these villages to real estate investors at an above market value, at least more than $2.5 million. If you look at the Maui property taxes, by doing this, let's say they where owner occupied housing used to be is now destroyed. If they build what I would refer to as, or what they refer to as, commercialized residence, or commercialized residential housing, and apartment complexes, things like that. These investors come in, and based off of their property tax rates of about $4 million, I think that's about what the government will sell. The government will double their revenue and capital gains through the sale of the property, and they're going to be able to tax rental income by the real estate investors getting government-subsidized rent on these properties, and it also doubles the property tax rate because of the type of property that's being taxed now. So the government is the state of Hawaii is able to basically get revenue through capital gains, increase three times the property tax rate, and get federal funding from FEMA and from the Inflation Reduction Act moving forwards, as well as try and reduce its homeless issue. Also, using these homeless and illegal migrants to provide cheap labor on the island, like a form of slave labor almost, that will fill a lot of the demands and jobs that they can't fill right now. It also would probably, in their idea of a good world, reduce the cost of living, because you're lowering wages, therefore you're kind of lowering the cost of employment. There's a lot of factors that play in there. Economically, to me, this all makes 100% sense. I know people want to go into this deep conspiracy of, crazy wild things, but honestly, I think that there was a huge incentive for the Hawaiian government to start this fire, and it only worked out in their favor, and it's going to work out in their favor, and I do believe this is what you're going to see. You're going to see the Hawaii government completely take over in this area. You're going to see these homeless and people and illegal migrants being shipped. You're going to see them being put into these communal villages. This isn't made up, by the way. Again, I just cannot emphasize this enough. This is literally on the governor's own agenda. Okay? He has this listed out. They're going to receive federal funding for it. They're going to increase tax revenue because they're going to end up selling the properties to private investors afterwards, which rent is still going to be guaranteed and subsidized. And they're going to tax that income from the investors at a, multiple of what they're getting for owner-occupied housing right now from the people in Lahaina. And then they're going to be able to say that, hey, we're able to push forward these child care services, these cheap child care services. We're able to reduce the cost of living for people on Maui. And guess what? They're providing cheap labor to all the wealthy people that own houses in Maui, that when they come on vacation, they have all of their needs met and it doesn't cost them anything. Part of excessive cost of living, especially in Hawaii, comes from the demand for very high wages. And therefore, services that are traditionally cheap in the mainland of the United States are far more expensive and less accessible for the people in Hawaii. And that also applies to the wealthy people who are vacationing in Hawaii. So, with our population dropping, because people can't afford to live here, let's just take in illegal immigration and utilize it, because they're obviously going to be willing to work for far less. We're going to subsidize communal housing. You're basically building a communist society for the poor to take care of the rich than the demands for the rich. Look, the government is money hungry too. You know, again, this goes back to what I said. It's a bad thing if the private sector is selfish and money motivated, but it's okay if the government's money motivated and selfish. The difference is that the private sector doesn't use physical coercion, right? They can't imprison you for not paying them. It's voluntary. But the government can. The government has far more power than any private entity there is, especially when it comes to the, you know, lower classes. Again, I'll post the articles in the description, but there is, I mean, here's another article right here, written this year in April. It says that Hawaii has 49 homeless individuals on Oahu per 10,000 residents. And the Hawaiian government right now is looking at legislation to either try and send them back to the homeland, or they got to figure something else out to do with them. Like, they have to figure something. But the problem is they don't have the work. They have an extreme shortage of labor. So they can't send them back to the mainland because they need them. So right here it says that to ensure resources go to people who call Hawaii home, a short-term program was launched 3 years ago that returned transients to the mainland. That may start happening again soon. A new partnership using public and private funds is being envisioned that would offer a free one-way ticket home. But now they can't send them home because they need them there. And they need the cheap labor. So they're just going to build housing right there in Lahaina for this cheap labor, as stated by the governor. And this is the plan. I can't lay it out any clearer than that. If you don't want to believe it, you don't have to. Look, this is literally, again, all this stuff has been written about prior to the fire. And there's a very, very large motive behind the government. But, you know, in some people's eyes, the government can do no fucking wrong. Let's just entrust them with everything. Let's keep giving them our tax money. Let's federalize everything. Let's federalize oil and gas. Let's federalize childcare. Let's federalize, you know, everything that is federalized, by the way, or given to the government, freaking is worse off anyway. The best example is student loans. That's the big problem, right? Well, let's cancel student loans, but student loans are 96% owned by the government. They're the ones that give out the student loans. So you want the government to have control over healthcare and all these other things, but now you're having a problem when student loans are extremely expensive to pay back. Why? Because everything the fucking government touches gets expensive because they have no responsibility and no idea on how to responsibly spend money. They just think they can print, borrow, and it just grows on trees, and it doesn't. The government doesn't have money. The government gets money from us, from the private people who pay them in taxes, or they borrow it. Other than that, they don't have any money. The government is nothing. It's funded by us, paid for by us, and that's it. It's a simple equation, right? But this is the big problem with the left, is they fail to realize this, and they are too trusting. The government, the left, and Thomas Sowell stated this very, very plainly, and in a great way. The problem with the left is they think that there's a perfect solution and that people are not flawed. They only act poorly because the systems make them act poorly, right? It's the systems are the problem. And you often hear it, it's like systemic racism. Also, it's all of the policies and systems that are causing them their problem. You know, it's the reason for all their struggles in life. Whereas the right, or we'll say conservatives, because the right, there's some people on the right, who knows what the hell they think. But conservatives understand that people are inherently flawed, regardless of the systems, which is true. And there's no perfect solution. There's only trade-offs. And you need to choose the trade-off that is the least impactful. Like, the least negative, right? Which one is going to provide the best outcome? So we understand there's nothing that's perfect. Capitalism isn't perfect, but it's far better than socialism. So we go about the way of capitalism. But there's a lack of understanding in our current government because it's controlled by the left. And they just want to entrust the government. And, you know, I was listening to Patrick Bet David in his podcast, and he was talking about Medicare and how the Gen Z generation is kind of being exploited. And I do agree, by baby boomers. Now, baby boomers, you know, it's the generation after the people who returned home from World War II. It's all their children. The baby boomers really are taking advantage of the younger generations because they're living off of the incomes of the younger generations, right? The younger generations are paying and subsidizing for the retirement of Social Security and Medicare of the baby boomers. Now you can say, well, the baby boomers paid in for Social Security and Medicare all their life. Yeah, but all that money went and subsidized the people before them. It's not, you don't, when you put into Social Security and Medicare, you're not paying for yourself later on. You're paying for someone else's share. And the baby boomers are disproportionately receiving funds far higher than what they paid into. And, you know, it's a big problem. And what is most of our government made up of is baby boomers. You have a generation where they have grown up with the idea that government has done awesome for the population because of what went on with Roosevelt and the Depression and all these programs that were implemented back then around the time they were born and just before they were born, they're all benefiting from now. But they fail to realize how these are actually negatively impacting society. The government debt is through the roof, and it's hard for young people now. It is a lot harder for a young person to go and buy a house than it was a baby boomer the first time they did. This is fact. It is. You could argue that things are more accessible now, yes. Wages are higher. People are far better off than they were. Yes, every generation lives a lot better than the previous one did at that age. But do they really? Well, you could also argue no, because baby boomers were able to go and purchase housing very cheap. They're able to purchase vehicles, right? Consumerism back then was totally different because I think there's more luxury now. But as far as just everyday average person, the way of life was simpler back then. And it was cheaper. And a lot of the reason it was cheaper is because they didn't have the financial obligation to fund the people before them. And now baby boomers are exploiting the young hardworking generation now. And it's true. And PBD went on and they were talking about this. But it's a very unpopular thing to say, because especially in the government, because a lot of people in the government are the baby boomers that are benefiting from all this. That's why they always say, we're not going to cut Social Security or Medicare. Come on, you would lose an election immediately if you said anything like that. And that's not fair. It's not. If you cut out Social Security, you're immediately adding 6.2% to a W-2 employee's paycheck every week. Or every paycheck, right? Not every week, but every paycheck. 6.2%. And it's just, you know, that can make all the difference in the world. But no one wants to talk about these things. Or not no one, but just only a few people. So that's kind of my spiel. But continue to be on the lookout for everything I said in the beginning about the government's plans, either at the state level in Hawaii or the federal government, when it comes to what they're going to do with Lahaina. I'm just saying,